That's good. Amen. All right, folks, I want you, if you will, have your Bibles. I hope you have. You never send a soldier out to combat without his weapon. And this is a weapon. It's a sharp two-edged sword. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 16, if you'd like to stand tonight as we open pages of this divine book. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 16. We close out the canon of Scripture. And in closing, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks first person and says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Father, bless your word now. Bless it to our hearts. Lord, may we tonight receive the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord. God, we ask for wisdom. We ask for instruction. You said you would guide us into all truth. Lord, we live a dark hour. This is a dark hour. This hour is full of deception. Father, we cling to you more tonight than we ever have. We need your witness. We need the word of the living God. In thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ calls himself in Revelation chapter number 22, the bright and morning star. One of the things that I love about the King James Bible is its consistency. From Genesis through Revelation, it's consistent. And what title designation it applies to someone, it traces it all through the Bible. It doesn't jumble it around. It doesn't create confusion. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14 and verse number 12, the King James Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? A clear distinction is made between the sun of the morning and the bright and morning star. Both of them are light bearers. No question about that. Both of them have the capability of illuminating subjects under their authority. Both of them came from above. They certainly did. But the light of one leads into darkness. The light of the other leads to God. Lucifer is called that because he is the light bearer, and he does offer illumination. He does offer wisdom, mysteries, knowledge, hidden knowledge to those who would seek out his counsel. He offers it freely to anyone who would call upon his name. Lucifer in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, is presented as someone who fell from his high exalted position. In the King James Bible, there is no question in Isaiah chapter number 14 that Lucifer is a being that is being judged, and the king of Babylon is only an earthly subject, but God is speaking to one that is much higher than an earthly subject. He's talking about Lucifer, and he calls him the son of the morning. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, verse 12, in the New American Standard Bible, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. In the New International Version, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. Revelation chapter number 22 said, I am the bright and morning star. The Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself as the morning star. But in the New International Version, the same term is used for Lucifer. Now we have confusion being created in the mind of the reader. The Revised Standard Version, which goes all the way back just to touch to the Revised Version, which is the granddaddy of all of them. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, who laid the nations low. And if you could take another 50, 60 translations, you'd find the same line of confusion as it relates to Lucifer. God is not the author of confusion. As I've read to you tonight, I can show you clearly how that in the Word of God, Satan is called, O morning star. Son of the morning, rather. And in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the bright and morning star. So these new Bibles create confusion. Make no mistake about it. There is no confusion in the mind of an occultist as to who Lucifer is. This is taken from a Tyndale dictionary of the Bible. This is about Lucifer. There are many who believe the expression and surrounding context refers to Satan. Back to Isaiah 14. They believe the similarities among Isaiah 14, 12, Luke 10, 18, and Revelation 12, 7 warrant this conclusion. However, although the New Testament passages do speak of Satan's fall, the context of Isaiah's passage describes the defeated king of Babylon. The Babylonian king had desired to be above God and so fell from heaven. His doom is pictured as already accomplished. Though defeat is certain for Satan, he yet continues his evil acts against God's people. Not until the final judgment will his fate be sealed, his activity stopped. Isaiah then is not speaking of Satan in Isaiah chapter number 14, but of the proud and soon to be humiliated king of Babylon. From Tyndale's Bible Dictionary. This is confusion. I disagree with the Tyndale's Bible Dictionary. But this is a Christian quote-unquote dictionary that you can buy in any religious bookstore, or you can get it on CD-ROM through Bible programs and all of that, along with a countless other Bible dictionaries that give you the same idea that Isaiah 14:12 is not talking about Lucifer per se as a being, but are simply using something that was in vogue in that day, some kind of a terminology, kind of a comparative thing to where Lucifer is a reference to the star or the planet Venus. And so you can get into a long thing on it. If you want to spend time and research, you can. You can read till your eyeballs pop out as to what they have to say about the Latin Lucifer, about this and about that. But the bottom line is that when you come down and begin to study the Bible, there is a reason for that term showing up in Scripture. There's a reason for the term Lucifer showing up in the Bible. It's translated from a Hebrew word that means a light bearer, phosphorus, light emitting. And the devil is certainly an angel of light. He can transform himself and his ministers into ministers of righteousness. I believe with all of my heart that this is an Old Testament reference using the name Lucifer to the fall of Satan that the Lord Jesus Christ mentions in the book of Luke when he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The reason I believe that is because all of those people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject the Son of God, they reject the Holy Ghost, they accept Lucifer. These Bible dictionaries might not know who Lucifer is, but there's an awful lot of them out there who do. And they've sold their very soul to this Lucifer, this light bearer, this one that's given them esoteric wisdom, hidden knowledge, illuminated the great truths of life and eternity. And they've received it, embraced it, and welcomed Lucifer into their heart and into their soul. Now some do it openly. Some do it with no question, no qualms about it. They know exactly who they're receiving. The Theosophist Society with Helen Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and all of those that lived in the latter part of the 1800s, first part of the 1900s, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were receiving the spirit of Lucifer. But there are those who receive that spirit thinking that they're receiving an illuminative spirit, some kind of a spirit guide, you know, some kind of a mystic experience, but they're receiving the same spirit anyway. It doesn't make any difference how you receive that spirit, you receive that spirit. This is why the Bible is so careful to tell you to try the spirits. Just because something is spiritual doesn't mean it's of God. Now, I've been here for 35 years this coming August. And I've never known a time in my ministry when what I'm about to preach to you tonight is more important than it is tonight, because we are at the very door of what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a hypothetical thing that may happen in a church 10, 20 years down the road. I'm talking about what's going on right now. And I'm talking about what was prophesied in the past that would happen in the churches. And I'll show you that in a minute. It's a very eye-opening thing. It's something that I already knew in my heart. Isn't it something when you know something in your heart and you found it out by research and then come to find out somebody else substantiates it, they corroborate it? You find it, and they said it 100 years ago. It's an amazing thing when you realize how God Almighty confirms the truth in your soul. It really is. When something that you know is true, like I have preached time and again to you, and I mean I wear it out, I know I do, but when I tell you that Jesus Christ is the God-man, the reason I say that is so that you can be protected from false spirits, from unclean spirits. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you have the Holy Ghost in you, He will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost is in you, He makes no bones about it that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. There is no other way to heaven but the Son of God. And now when somebody comes up to me and says, Jesus, I'm not sure who he's talking about. When somebody comes up to me and says that they're a Christian, goes to church and blah, blah, I'm not sure who I'm talking to. I want them to tell me who they're talking about. Are you talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that every devil and every Lucifer and every creature that's ever been made is going to bow down before Him and they're going to acknowledge Him to be Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You can be certain of this tonight. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in you and you're an ecumenicist and you're running around with the devil's crowd and you're messing around with mysticism and all this new stuff coming into the church, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to like that. You're not going to like it a bit. Now let me tell you what they say. I've read at length what Albert Pike has to say. I know that. And I want to finish up what he has to say. He says Lucifer is God. Unfortunately, Adonai is God also. This is a very brilliant man. This is a smart man. Probably had an IQ of 150, 160. It's a smart man. And he was a Confederate general in the war between the states. And he's a Grand Master in the Masonic Lodge. And he's the only Confederate general that has a statue in Washington, D.C. The only one. And of course, he's not there because he's a general in the Confederate Army. He's there because he is an adept. A master teacher, an ascended master. He is the Lord God of these people. He's the one who gave them their morals and dogma, laid out their doctrine. He's the one that taught the teachers that teach them now. That's why he's in such a high exalted position. He makes it clear his God's Lucifer. Now you may be confused by Bible dictionaries today. You may be confused by Bible translations today. But there is no confusion in the mind of a Luciferian. They know exactly who they're worshiping. And the reason they do is because they've got his spirit in them. Now, if you want to play with it, you're going to get burned. If you want to fool around with this thing, you're going to get in danger. This is why the Lord put safeguards in the Word of God. This is why he put cherubim with flaming swords to keep the way to the tree of life. Because they were sorely unprepared to deal with what awaited them. So therefore, he gave them a lamb. And he covered their nakedness with a lamb. The skins of a lamb, the coat of a lamb. He shed lamb's blood. He shed the blood of a lamb. Teaching them from day one that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. The Satanist, the Luciferian, takes everything that is Christian, that is sacred, that is holy, and he reverses it. He perverts it. He distorts it. And you can tell what spirit you have tonight. Check your spirit out. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the blessed Son of God? He is the desire of all the ages. There's none like Him. He's the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And everything that has two legs is going to bow down. And they're going to call Him Lord to the glory of God the Father. Does that make you uncomfortable or do you rejoice in that? Do you rejoice thinking that the day is going to come when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear? And the Bible says that the name of Jesus, they're going to say, Jesus. And at that name, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. They can confess him Lord because they're not saved. But they confess him Lord because the word Lord means he is the master. There's none higher than him. Amen. 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 I confess him as Savior because I know him as Savior. I confess him as Lord because I know him as Lord. I confess him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I tell you what killed the church, messing around with every kind of a spiritual thing outside the Word of God and receiving every kind of a spirit outside of the Holy Ghost and then trying to make it compatible and comfortable in the church, and it won't work. Albert Pike makes it plain. He said, thus the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. Now listen carefully, because this opens up their thinking. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. See how he's reversed it? One must not lose sight of the fact that Pike occupied simultaneously the positions of Grand Master, the Central Directory of Washington, and that of Grand Commander, the Supreme Council of Charleston, and that of Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry. My. There is no confusion. Now, this is not all about Masons tonight. Don't miss it. This goes much broader than them. It's just that once you get into a religion, you have to make a choice somewhere along the way as you begin to learn more and more and more. When a man swears into the Masonic Lodge, he's not worshiping Lucifer. It's as he rises, as he learns more, that he's more accountable and he knows more. And then the day will come when the light flashes in front of his face. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with that place. It's all about Lucifer. Lucifer. When they get high enough. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply energy. This is from the Lost Keys of Masonry. Another statement is, so wonderful is the expansion of the initiate's conscience that it is most apt to speak of the change as a new birth. He begins to lead a new life, as a little child, the life of the Christ. And the Christ, the intuitional or Buddhic consciousness, is born within his heart. Now, did you hear him define the Christ? You've got to be careful. It's called semantics. He says Christ, I say Christ. He says Jesus, I say Jesus. His Jesus is not my Jesus. His Christ is not my Christ. It's a definition of terms. It's very important. He just told you that for him, Christ means a consciousness of Buddhism. That's what it means. That he's learned that. The Masters and the Path is what that's quoted from. Again, from the Masters and the Path. The candidate has now become more than an individual man because he's a unit in a tremendous force. On every planet, the solar logos. Authors note solar logos is referring to the supreme deity as revealed within the sun god, has his representative acting as his viceroy. On our globe, the title given to this great official is the Lord of the World. The Masters of their Path. Does that alarm you? That's only one aspect in one realm of it. How many's ever heard of David Spangler? My goodness, folks. This man is well known for his writings, and I'm not misrepresenting him tonight. I just logged onto his website before I came to church, and his website is as plain as it can be. He tells you clearly that he talks to spirit beings, that they're guiding him. All right, here's what he says. Quote, Lucifer comes to give us the final gift of wholeness. If we accept it, then he is free and we are free. This is the Luciferic initiation. It is one of that many people now and in the days ahead will be facing, for it is an initiation into the new age. Did you get that? Did you get that? To receive Lucifer and his spirit and his initiation and his light and his understanding. He's a light bearer. Light means, listen, when you think about light, you see physical light. It illuminates what's beneath it. But light in Scripture goes much deeper than that. Light in the Word of God illuminates thoughts, ideas, personages, God's purpose, His will, the future. That's another form of light. And that's the kind of light the Bible says the Holy Ghost will guide you into. Truth and light could be spoken of synonymously. Now when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll guide you into the light, into the truth. Time and again in the Word of God, you are called children of the light. The He that dwelleth in the light. We are in the light. Amen. I don't need to turn to darkness. I don't need to turn to some tar pit to get the truth. I've got it right here. This is the truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I've got the light. The light is the book. This illuminates my nature. It tells me I'm lost without God. This illuminates my Savior. It says the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. It illuminates eternity. It says that there is a heaven glory to God to gain, and there is a hell to shun. It illuminates God Himself, because it tells me that the God-man came 2,000 years ago. I've got a book. The book is the light. This is the light. This is not a light among other lights, because we have two different kinds of lights in this auditorium. You have an incandescent light and a fluorescent light. Maybe more in here, for all I know. But that's the two that we have, obviously, in this room. They're different types of light, but they both illuminate. But there's only one light. That's the true light. That's this book. It is the Word of God. So, Mr. Spangler, I'm sorry, sir. You're dead wrong. You have followed a lie. But, you see, there's no confusion among these people who Lucifer is. There may be confusion in Bible dictionaries, and there may be confusion in Bible translations, but there is no confusion with the occultist. In Spangler's world, humankind would completely embrace Lucifer and allow Lucifer to indwell in an unprecedented way. Spangler's vision is for a new global order ruled by the Lord of this world. Now, Alice Bailey lived 100 years ago. She lived 100 years ago. That's a long time. 100 years ago, this woman is a theosophist. She believes in the wisdom of God. That's what the word means. The wisdom of God. All right? 100 years ago, she said this. And 100 years ago, folks, the churches, for the most part, probably I'd say, guessing a good 60 to 70% of them, stood for the truth. 100 years ago, here's what she said. Alice Bailey, the occultist who coined the term New Age, prophesied that the coming one, really the false Christ, could not come on the scene until humanity recognized its divinity. Man is God, they will say. And she said that this age of Aquarius, remember the song back in the 60s? The water bearer, will not come around the Christian church, but rather through it. Now that's a statement that you just need to sit and meditate on for a moment. An occultist over 100 years ago said that this new age, this Antichrist, she didn't call him the Antichrist, she called him her Christ, but when he comes, he will not have to go around the church. He'll come right through it. Now, this is why I told you that God confirmed in my heart by the voice of an occultist what I knew in my soul. I told you a week ago that the very church that calls itself the Church of Christ or the Church of God is the vehicle to introduce demonic worship and the devil into this world. The Antichrist will rise from within the church. How great can the deception be? How great can it be? Listen, when I say church, I'm not talking about born-again, Bible-believing churches. That's not, how many in here think that's what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Bible-believing churches. Thank God we've still got thousands of them around. Pastors that love the Lord. And I mean people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But I'm talking about the vast majority of what itself calls itself the Church of the Living God today. They are as apostate as they can be. I'll show you the apostasy in a moment. But she says, but rather through it. This is what we are witnessing today, the writer says, and all believers should take note. Bailey called it the rejuvenation of the churches. Rick Warren, Leonard Sweet, and other prominent leaders call it a new reformation. But it is the same thing, and it will deceive millions. Deceive them into what? It will deceive them into receiving the Antichrist. Who had the truth and rejected the truth? Who had the light and turned it off? He said in 2 Thessalonians 2, because you love not the truth, but you love the lie, I'm going to send you a strong delusion that you might believe the lie and be damned. And that's what's happening in the church. The delusion is falling. The darkness is descending. They don't know. The evangelical church in this country has completely embraced total apostasy and demonology they've received. So, what's going on? I could go on all night about Rick Warren, no need in it. I've mentioned it to you. This man has enormous influence. Because so many people operate in the church like they operate in business. Good old boys, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You invite me to your meeting, I'll invite you to my meeting. This old kind of thing goes on all the time. It's just a bunch of religious politicking that kind of makes you sick. But anyway, this is the kind of thing that's going on. If I rub shoulders with the big dogs, you know, I'm going to get out, my name's going to get out, people are going to know who I am, blah, blah, blah. So I have to accept his theology. And so he just recently had three men, as I've told you before, three doctors, on his health seminar in California, Saddleback Church. These men were brought in to teach the people, to educate the people, to help them understand what they needed to know to lose weight, have wellness and fullness of spirit, you know, better life and all of that. The problem is that the men that he brought in are men who are definitely connected, they'll tell you right firsthand, with Kundalini yoga. They're definitely connected with a lot of other mysticisms. And that's the kind of thing that's going deep into the evangelical church and spreading its wings out into the Baptist churches. These people are connected with occultism. He has them up on his stage. They are in the occult. He has them on his stage. He parades these people in front of his so-called Christian congregation for them to hear the wisdom of an occultist. Now what is that, friend? Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you doing when you do that? What are you doing? You're legitimizing, for one thing. You're telling them that their message is right, that they can receive it. If you receive a message, you receive a spirit with the message. When you receive the man, you receive his spirit. And so what happens is that they have received. Now here's the problem. I have a problem tonight believing that a man can have the Holy Ghost of God in his soul and be born of the Spirit of God and receive that. The Holy Ghost would grieve you to the point that you'd be weeping. There's no way that you can be walking with God and allow that kind of apostasy come into your heart. There's no way. These men are involved in that. All you got to do is ask them. Get on their website. They'll tell you. Not misrepresenting anybody. Two of them in particular, Dr. Amen and Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is well known. He's a physician. Dr. Oz has said that tomorrow, January the 7th, he is going to hypnotize maybe millions, I don't know how many watch the show, across America so that they can lose weight. Well, on the surface of it, it seems beneficial, doesn't it? But what's he using? Do you know what hypnotism is? Hypnotism is giving yourself over to a third party. You no longer have control of yourself. You put yourself in a passive state. Any occultist will tell you in a heartbeat, when you put yourself in a passive state, you open yourself up for demon possession. Drugs can put you in a passive state. Alcohol can put you in a passive state. The occult, reading it, accepting it, receiving it, can put you in a passive state. It's called altered minds of consciousness. Hypnotism, therefore, is going to be used tomorrow, and I'd hate to be up here tonight advertising for him. But what I'm trying to do is make a point, and that is that this man, Dr. Oz, if I don't misrepresent him, I believe his wife is one who practices Reiki, R-I-K-I. How many's ever heard of that? Check into it. You'll find out what it is. You'll be amazed at the connections that begin to come out of all of this. You'll be amazed at what's going on. The deeper you dig, the more is unfolded, and the more alarm is raised. It's amazing, though, at how a man who knows how influential he is will bring this into the church before people who are gullible and vulnerable. And just because he is who he is, they're going to believe it and receive it, because he wouldn't give them anything bad. You understand? There was no way this man, being a minister of God, he's a reverend, there's no way he'd give them anything bad, right? You see the point? He has that power over people. And that's such a sad thing. Kundalini yoga. How many never heard me talk about Kundalini yoga? Well, a few of you haven't. They believe in Eastern Hindu mysticism that there are power centers in your body called chakras. That if you can connect these chakras, then you can literally tap into a source of power that is unbelievable. That can exalt you and lift you into an altered state of consciousness where you can begin to experience illumination, enlightenment, and all that comes along with whatever mystical experience that you can possibly have. Kundalini yoga believes that once you go into a state of yoga and into a meditative state and begin to meditate in certain forms of meditation, that you can tap into a source of power that exists at the base of your spine. That's a chakra. If you notice that your spine, that your joint here, your hip joint, is called the sacrum. That's amazing, because that's the Latin word for sacred. Don't you think that's remarkable? Why would the Latins call it sacred? Why would they use a term like that? Could it be that they themselves had already been drawn into this kind of mysticism? When my wife had surgery a few years ago, she had surgery in the sacroiliac joint. I'll never forget that. The sacrum. All right? At the base of the spine dwells a serpent. That serpent wraps itself around your spine, and its head is protruding forward. You are literally tapping into the power of the serpent when you go into Kundalini yoga. Does that scare you? Does that alarm you? Would a Christian have anything to do with tapping into any serpent power, regardless of where it was? Would anybody in this house tonight want to hear anything a serpent has to say? Was it not a serpent that tempted our parents over there in the book of Genesis? The Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the fields the Lord God had made. There is not one time in the whole Word of God that a serpent is ever spoken of in a good sense. Even when the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, he simply said, look at it and you live. But this is what's going on. So what's really going on? You want me to tell you what's happening? You want me to tell you? You should have put two and two together. Let me tell you what's happening. The church is going to present the man to the world. He'll rise from within its ranks, and he'll be the man of all the ages. And he's got to be good, because he's coming from the church. And they'll receive his spirit, and they already have, and they'll receive him. Such a sad thing tonight. We're just a few days, maybe, or a few weeks, maybe, or a few months, maybe, away from that happening. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, be not deceived. That day cannot come, except there come a falling away first. What does your Bible say? What does it call that day? If you've got a real Bible, what's that day called? The day of Christ. All the other Bibles call it the day of the Lord. They confuse the rapture. Nobody believes in the rapture anymore. Nobody believes in it anymore. That day will not come except there come a falling away first. Has that happened? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. An amazing thing. Isn't it an amazing thing? Just wait for somebody to rise up from within the religious ranks of the so-called church in this country, or in the world, representing the whole religious scene. Wait for that man to rise up in a religious setting and declare, he says he's God, but not in the sense that you understand God. It's the sense that people understand him today. They've been dumbed down spiritually to the point to where they have no concept of that eternal being. Where's he coming from then, preacher? He's coming out of the church just like Alice Bailey said he would. They've received him. And they're going to receive him. So, keep your eyes open. Keep your ears tuned. Keep watching. We're just about there. It's sad, but it's exciting at the same time. It's sad to think that people are so ignorant and so apostatized, but it's exciting to think when you see him come up, when you see him rise up, then you're going to say, glory to God, hallelujah, that's all that has to be done. We're ready to go. You say, well, what if we left tonight? Well, if we left tonight, you've probably already seen him. I'm not calling anybody anything, but just put two and two together. Amen. Father, in thy name we pray. Use what I've said, Lord, for the glory of God. The deception is great. You said that except those days to be shortened, the very elect themselves could be deceived. My Father, in thy name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it tonight. In thy sweet name we pray. Anybody in this house tonight, a simple question. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you know, you know that you know that you know that you know you know you know that you've passed from death into life. You know you're born again. If you know that, I'm going to tell you something about the new birth. I was reading a thing a few minutes ago about this guy. He's a new ager and all of that. And he's made this statement. He said, oh, I got saved under so-and-so's ministry. He said, I got to go in some of these meetings of this new age. And he said, I realized what a fool I was, how stupid I was to make that profession of faith. I thought to myself, son, you never knew him to start with. You believed a bunch of stuff up here in your head. Your heart never changed. A true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be a true believer when he comes to catch us away. You may not be on the mountaintop shouting in your faith, but you're still a believer. That'll stick with you. He'll keep you, and you're his from now on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glad I don't have to keep myself. I'm liable to go screaming mad tonight. I'm liable to have a stroke and be foaming at the mouth tomorrow. I'm liable to lose it completely mentally. But I'll tell you what I cannot lose. I cannot lose my salvation. I know whom I have believed. Hallelujah. Amen. I have no confidence in the flesh, folks. I have no confidence in the flesh. None. My flesh. Don't know about yours. I got none in mine. No confidence. My trust is in him, not in me. Yes, sir, brother. He is. And he told us it was going to happen, and it's happening. A whole lot worse than anybody ever thought. Let's stand up tonight, and we'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to come tonight. And listen for that shout. You want to see these little ones in glory, you better be ready to go, because they're going. Amen. You better be ready. Praise the Lord. What have we got, brother?
Page number 403 in the All-American.